Well, if you know me very well, you know I enjoy humor. Now, sometimes it's repetitive, especially when it comes to commercials on TV, but when you get something that's really funny and really good, and as I thought about our subject today, I couldn't help but think of a particular Geico commercial. It has to do with one of our founding fathers and his struggle to be honest and truthful. It's actually Abraham Lincoln. You might remember it. It's very short, so if you can do this, listen quickly as we share it. Go ahead.
Save you 15% or more on car insurance.
We'll give a plug to Geico.
Is Abe Lincoln honest?
Does this dress make my backside look big?
He's struggling.
Perhaps.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Thanks, Steve. I almost thought of showing that twice. You know, does this dress make me look fat? And he's like trying to be as positive as he can, but he needs to be honest. He is Abraham Lincoln after all. Yeah, that was good. How many of you remember seeing that on TV? I'm just curious. Yeah, quite a few of you. Okay. Well, one of the top qualities that I've always tried to maintain for myself is honesty. It was instilled to me by my parents, and I tried to instill it with my kids as well as they were growing up. Honesty really is a fundamental. Telling the truth is a fundamental to any family, to any organization, to any nation. Because when it's compromised, it becomes relative. And no one knows where absolute truth is. What is absolute truth? How do you have sure footing when what you're walking on is shifting? And it's almost, if you've ever walked on swamplands or something and you're never quite sure of your footing, that's how it is, not knowing what the truth is. The ninth command establishes something by God. It says that not to bear witness or not to lie about others. Exodus 20:16 gives it real simply. You should not give false testimony against your neighbor. You remember when we started the series on the Ten Commandments, we talked about the first four being related to God up in heaven. In the next six being related to our relationships with each other. So I thought I would take just a moment and put a bump on the screen. There they are. We're almost done. We're not quite done. But I thought we'd read it together. I haven't done a lot of responsive reading, but it's good for a congregation. So join me as we read from the slide that's projected up there, the Ten Commandments. Number one, do not worship any other gods. Do not make any idols. Do not misuse the name of God. Keep the Sabbath holy. Number five, honor your father and mother. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not lie. Do not covet. When we think of the wording, as the NIV said it, about bearing false witness, you could really think, well, this is just about the courtroom. When you go in the courtroom, you have to be honest. But really, we know, as Christians, we know in principle that we need to follow it in our lives, in all areas of our lives, and we all need to do that. Ephesians 4:25 says, therefore, each of you must put off falsehoods and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. And the Apostle Paul made it real simple. He just said in Colossians 3:9, do not lie to each other. Pretty simple, straight away. Think of the day and age we live in, the rampant violations we see in this regard, the lying that happens, or maybe a more contemporary word, the spinning that goes on. It's in our media every day, day after day. I kind of like the name of one show. It's a show I watch from time to time, Bill O'Reilly, The No Spin Zone. You've seen it. But I always want to ask Bill O'Reilly, no spin? Really? Not even from you? About you? Who's to say? Discerning real truth, it's not always easy. And sometimes it can be so hard, we get tired of it. But we honestly need to seek honesty whenever we can. We need to seek it from others, but especially we need to seek it from ourselves. Exodus 23:1 in the NLT says, "You must not pass along false rumors. You must not cooperate with evil people by lying on the witness stand." Not only are we not to tell lies, we are not to help others tell lies or untruths. We're not to help others tell partial truths. It's interesting how when someone's really doing a creative lie, they sprinkle in some truth with it to give it context. You see it often. And Jesus touched on this subject in the Gospel of Matthew, in Matthew 12, 36 and 37. "But I tell you that everyone will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every empty word they have spoken. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned." I got to tell you, as a Gordon, we have a specialty for the gift of gab. We talk a lot, my family. Beth is married into it, so she does much better than us. But my family as a whole, we like talking, and so we do talk a lot. With our words, we have the ability to encourage, to lift people up. Yet at the same time, with our words, they're so powerful, we have the ability to discourage, to push people down, to create despair, and even at times, great discouragement. We can strike a wound right to the heart. And many of you know what I'm talking about. As a pastor, I need to be especially careful. My job is to communicate, to use many words. And every week I come here and I get to speak many words. I hope my words will always be truthful. I hope they'll be uplifting to you. But at the same time, I hope they'll be challenging to you, because it's important that we grow closer to Christ and closer to His holiness. I recently had a situation where someone told me something I had said evidently rather flippantly. And to be honest with you, I did not remember, although I could picture myself in jest saying something. But I found out it hurt somebody. It bothered somebody. I appreciate being told, because it gave me a chance to go apologize. It gave me a chance to say, and I was honest, I don't remember doing it, but I easily could have. And I'm sorry. And it's important that we talk to each other, that we help each other. Probably one of the best things we have as a church is accountability, to lift each other up, to encourage each other to live well. In Proverbs, it says, there are six things the Lord hates. Actually, seven He detests. It's Proverbs 6, 16 through 19, one of my favorite books. "There are six things the Lord hates, seven that are detestable to Him: haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that are quick to rush into evil, a false witness who pours out lies, and a person who stirs up conflict in the community." So what are some of the ways that we violate this ninth commandment? Well, here are some of the common ways that those of us who are professional spread bad news. I shouldn't say just us. All of us tend to do this. Those who spin professionally use these strategies often, and I will list them off. The first one is slander. Thinking or making up something bad about a person and sharing it. Putting a spin on it to misrepresent something about somebody. Tearing down their reputation. Spreading bad news about them. Psalms 101, verse 5 says, "I will not tolerate people who slander their neighbors." Slander is in the news all around us. Especially right now in the presidential election, we really get a daily dose of it every day. If you're like me and watch the news a lot, it's just like unrelenting. We need to be very careful to guard our hearts, to guard our minds, but especially to guard our mouths. We interact with many people every day. We can't be too careful. Another way that we practice not telling the truth is through gossip. Rumors, and one of my all-time favorites, insinuations. We spread tales, some of it imaginary, some of it might even lean towards truth. We spread evil news imagined in our minds or we heard. We create bad impressions. We stir up ideas that something might not be true. We plant the possibility of improper or indecent things about people. Exodus 23:1 in the NLT. You must not pass along false rumors. You must not cooperate with evil people by lying on the witness stand. Have you ever been a victim of someone's evil intentions in this regard, where they've planted untruths, where they've put out their innuendos? How painful it is. And often it can be impossible to repair. And if you're like me, sensitive to what people think, it's an uphill battle. It'd be like, AJ, I'm going to pick on you like I often do. It'd be like, I got to tell you what AJ did. No, I can't. It's so deplorable, I can't say what he did. What's that mean? It means a lot of bad goobly-goop yuck. And what's AJ to do with that? He doesn't even know what I'm talking about. I don't even know what I'm talking about in that example. How do you undo that? It becomes very painful and hard to repair damage once it's done. Deception or deceit, thinking or wanting something to be true, accepting truth, and then sharing it without knowing if it's true. Sometimes we deceive ourselves as much as others when we accept bad news and just kind of pass it along. We need to know the truth. You need, before you speak, you need to know the truth before you believe the bad news. Proverbs 24:28. Do not testify against your neighbor without cause. Would you use your lips to mislead? It doesn't say do not testify against your neighbor. It says do it not doing it without a cause. If you saw one neighbor burn another neighbor's house down, you should testify against that if you saw that. But if you just heard the other neighbor did it, you better be very careful what you say. There are evil people in this world. And it's good to challenge them and oppose them. But you need to do it in step with God, with God's words. You need to put on the full armor of God. And I would add your brothers and sisters praying for you as you pursue it. Because you could be in harm's way. How about spreading false charges and inappropriate criticism? Accusations to a third party, sharing faults and failures of people other than the person themselves. You know, Matthew 18 gives us a principle. It's talking about church discipline in that, or it's used often church discipline, but the principle's good. If you have issues with somebody, take it to that person. Talk to them directly. Give them a chance to respond. We'll talk more about that a little bit later. But we need to be careful when we condemn or blame others. Matthew 5:12 says, rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecute the prophets who were before you. You know, we can be thankful we live in a day when someone accuses you. There is a court system. There's a structure that you can go find justice. You can oppose false charges. It is tough to deal with false charges. A fifth one, the last of my little list here, number five, exaggeration or over-the-top flattery. This one fascinates me, as discouraging as it can be, where a person stretches the truth about a person, but they do it with excessive praising. They actually falsely represent you or others, painting a false picture of a person with flattery. Proverbs 28:23 says in the NLT, "In the end, people appreciate honest criticism far more than flattery." You see, you can be pursued, courted by those who want to do harm to you or through you. Narcissists and Machiavellian types whisper sweet flattery words in your ears. You want to hear more. It's very tempting to want to hear more. But we can be very vulnerable to this. We should not allow others to use us to get to other people, to take us away from God's role for us. We need to be very careful not to be naive to the schemes of others. You really need God's wisdom in some of these areas. And what is a narcissist? What is a Machiavellian? I almost want to take a poll if you know what that means. But it's words that are very important to understand. A narcissist is a person, and it's very real simple terms, they're very consumed with self. It's all about self. You can criticize them a whole bunch. They don't care. They're all about lifting themselves up. It centers on them, everybody else. A good narcissist, I've seen them take truth and make, I mean, I have seen them take lies and convince themselves to their being that it's the truth. It's interesting. When you think of people, you think of that. Machiavellian types are much more creative than a narcissist. Now, they can be narcissists as well, but maybe not. The bottom line with them is they use other people to get to other people. Okay, AJ, if I can pick on you again. AJ, could you go talk, who should I pick on? Could you go talk to Cody and tell him I don't like the color of his shirt? No, don't tell him I said it. Just tell him that his shirt's ugly. Yeah, yes, he could be considered a deplorable friend. But Taka, you know, where you work through someone to go after somebody else, that's just, it's stinky, it's wrong, it's dishonest. When you think of your past, you might start thinking about people who fill this bill. In my life, I've come across numerous ones, sometimes champions in each of those categories. And they do damage. We need to be very careful about our motivation as we talk to others. Lies can cause serious damage. They can stir up misdirected emotions. Through deception and lies, we can cause misunderstandings between us and them, between other parties. We can cause disappointments, helplessness where they can't do anything about it. We can create emotional upheaval, loss, and even destruction. If it involves the gospel of Jesus Christ, it can even cause eternal damage. Lying destroys. It wipes out love, trust, hope. It explodes relationships. Trust and confidence, as you know, is really hard to build back up, to put back in place. It doesn't happen overnight. It takes years to rebuild. Spiritually, when we look at this, we can think of the battle between good and evil. The battle of the dark side and the side of truth and light. We learn in scriptures that Satan is the father of all lies. He was the first one to lie. And so he gets that wonderful title. Jesus called the Pharisee liars children of the devil because they rejected the truth. And I suspect maybe some were in innocence, but a lot of them knew what the truth was. John 8:44 reads, as he talks to them, "You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. The source of all truth is your Father in heaven. Scriptures declare it over and over again. You know God to be absolute. It's not in him to die. We have numerous passages that say, and I'm going to read just a couple, and you can pick up as we talk about the attributes of God. And we see what Scripture says. Isaiah 65:16 in the NLT. All who invoke a blessing or take an oath will do so by God, by the God of truth. For I will put aside my anger and forget the evil of earlier days. Hebrews 6:16-18 in the New Testament. People swear by someone greater than themselves, and the oath confirms what is said and puts an end to all argument. Because God wanted to make the unchanging nature of his purpose very clear to the heirs of what was promised, he confirmed it with an oath. God did this so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled to take hold of the hope set before us may be greatly encouraged. You have to be encouraged that God is absolute. His word is absolute. So how then do we tell truth? How do we speak it? I couldn't help but think of Abraham Lincoln. He wanted to tell the truth, but how did he do it without hurting his wife, who he knew wouldn't accept it? It was funny, but we've all kind of felt that. Well, here's the rule. You do it in truth and love. Doesn't mean you don't do it without firmness. You do it with love and kindness. You do it with the help of the Holy Spirit living in you, living that life to help you discern, to help you carry out that task. Ephesians chapter 4, 31-32, again in the NLT. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. It doesn't mean you put yourself in harm's way. To say you're going to school every day and you're getting beat up and you give in because you don't want to deal with it or for whatever reason, you just want to be kind to the person, they're still going to beat you up. No, you don't keep taking it. You deal with it. You confront it. You try to do it with love and kindness, but sometimes that means bringing officials in to deal with it. This whole process is part of being an always growing, and I'm not going to say mature Christian or mature Christian, I'm going to say a maturing or maturing Christian, one who lives to follow Jesus Christ and his commandments, his words, and every aspect of our lives. Romans 13:8-10, let no doubt remain outstanding except the continuing debt of love to one another. For whoever loves others has fulfilled the law, the commandments. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not murder. You shall not steal. You shall not covet. And whatever other commands there may be are summed up in this one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. Here's some practical steps as I finish up this sermon. If you're like me, you have learned your words are powerful. You have learned that you can't unring a bell. Once those words are out there, they're out there. Now, you can apologize and you can build bridges, but they're out there. And being a person of many words, I've learned that lesson full and harshly. John Kersen is a commentary writer that I appreciate. He's from the Northwest. And he gave a couple steps, three steps actually, of how to, if you're a person that struggles with this, or even if you're not, you're a person that just wants to be wise, consider what he says, these three steps. The first thing he says is, Say less. Just speak less. Less volume of words can be really helpful. If you see me sometimes being quiet and just listening, you can know I'm intentionally working on me. I'm trying to acquire that skill to listen better. Proverbs 10:19, too much talk leads to sin. Be sensible and keep your mouth shut. Good advice, especially for Gordon. Number two, pray more. David wrote some wise words in the Psalms as he really prayed himself. From chapter 119 of Psalms, verse 29, keep me from lying to myself. Give me the privilege of knowing your instructions. Lord, help me be wise. Help me. He's not praying for others here. He's praying for himself. And the last one, think again. Think again. Before you say something about somebody else, think. And we might spell it T.H.I.N.K. For the following, the T is what about you're about to say, the truth, the whole truth? Is it really? You have all the facts? You're ready? You know? H, is it helpful? Will people be edified and lifted up? Here's a tough threshold. Is it inspirational? Will God be praised as a result? N, is it necessary? Really? K, is it kind? Think. Think before you speak. Can't you tell as I talk about this sermon, I'm talking to me as much as I'm talking to you? Very much so. As Christians, we can be comforted that we do have a God that is absolutely true. It's the one thing in life that we can count on to be absolute. Even when we mess up, God is in control. And if you've lived life very long, you've seen God take your mess ups, and he's able to use those. So for a Christian, being in a relationship with Jesus Christ can be a win-win. God is in control. By his essence, he is the total reality of truth. He wants you to know your situation. He wants you to be clear of your situation and to know what eternity is all about. John 14:6, many of you have this memorized, I'm sure. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. These words that Jesus said are so true. If you're not walking with Jesus, if you don't know him, he wants you to know the truth, to be convinced of it. And I would ask that you don't do it alone, that you take a good Christian friend to walk with you. You talk to me. You talk to someone that can help you walk the walk. As we all deal with our words, as we all deal with how we live our lives, let us not forget this ninth commandment of the Ten Commandments. Let us be wise with our words and speak with the love and the kindness that Jesus would want to speak. And I will add with a firmness as we live out our days. Please join me while I pray. Lord, this can be overwhelming when we think about how lax we are. When we become lazy with our words and we just say whatever is on our mind. And yet there's times we should speak that we don't. There's times we can be Machiavellian and use others or narcissists and just think of ourselves. Help us consider the people around us and lift them up. Help us to be true to your word, to live our lives with all wisdom. Thank you for the commandments, which are just the beginning steps of understanding how we should live our lives. You have gifted us with very much, from our personalities to spiritual gifts, but you've gifted us with words of truth in your scriptures. Help us hold it dear. Help us pursue it with all that we have. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.